tall Tim Robbins.
Oh, yeah.
Is Tim Robbins really tall?
Oh, he is tall. He's like 9 foot six.
Oh.
Yeah. Susan really Sarandon. Susan Sarandon is 8 foot 11.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they're a crazy Hollywood couple.
Wow.
No lies.
Yeah. Anytime they're around Tom Cruise, it's just like incredible scaffolding.
He just goes up to the knees.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's up, guys?
Hey, have you guys thought about checking your thetans out?
I'm going to jump on the couch.
Yeah.
You should really get those thetans cleared out. You'll be a lot happier.
Yeah, you won't need to take any pills or anything.
Your money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only $100,000 a day habit. Mm. Don't worry
also,
about it.
My one front tooth is right in the center of my skull. It's very strange.
Yeah, everybody.
Look this up online.
Everybody's confused by looking at my nose because there's a tooth under it. It's my smelling tooth. That way, when you bite in, you go, "Oh yeah, it's meat." Yep.
He's been. Do you guys watch that show?
Wait,
I have no idea what
no,
just
Big Mouth. I just really liked it.
I found out the other day that I can do the
kill
voice.
That
or,
voice.
Did you see Big Mouth on Netflix?
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, so there's like, there's the hormone monster who's like, "I'm the hormone monster." And then there's the older hormone monster who's like going into retirement.
He's got this crazy voice. Don't touch this, baby.
He's nailing it. Really. It's kind of disturbing. I hate it when he does that, which is why he can get away with doing it when there's company, because I don't like smack him.
Oh, sure.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So oh, there's, yeah. That's,
like
I think
my,
that's
my aged pervert voice at this point, I guess. Mm.
Great. Something I mean, like I know Nick Kroll is an avid listener to the show, so maybe he'll have you on to do some
really?
Voices. I mean, I would like to think so.
I'm going to choose to believe so.
Also. I would like to think a lot of things. Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy and trivia podcast hosted by me, Nate Regolia, and co-hosted by Shannon Page.
That's me.
Hey, Shannon.
Hi.
Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And you know, I already said your name and you already said hi, but with me as always, the co-hostess with the co-mostest and the Hadouken to my Street Fighter, it's Shannon Page.
I don't understand that reference.
Yeah, I kind of thought you might not. It's the fireball that Ryu and Ken can shoot in the game, in the video game Street Fighter.
Wow. Oh, I scream Ryuken.
Okay.
Yeah. It basically makes the whole thing cooler because otherwise they would just be punchy kicky guys, but instead they're punchy kicky guys with fire magic.
That scream their own names.
Yeah.
Which is just normal. That's what everybody does.
But they're self-encouraging. You know? They're into each other. There's a great Street Fighter movie, an animated movie, that pretty much posits that Ken and Ryu are in a bromance that is not just bros.
That happens in the animated movie?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Ken's got like a girlfriend and he's like, "Whatever, shut up." And he's like, "I gotta go hang out with Ryu." It's fantastic. And it's not all in translation. Shannon, how are you?
I'm great.
Okay.
I'm great.
We need to do a quick show note from last week's episode, which is that I had mistakenly said that the renowned and beloved program One Tree Hill ended in the 2000s. And in fact, it went until 2012. So listeners, I am sorry. I know you're enraged having listened to that episode, knowing Becca tied because she was misscored for that. But rest assured, our journalistic integrity is intact and we will do better for you next time. Okay. Our guests this week are returning. They're returning guests. This is your third appearance.
Mm.
Isn't this exciting?
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are stoked. I can tell.
I feel right at home.
Yeah. So we have the wonderful Dr. Melati Stevens. Dr. Melati, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for coming back on the show.
Mm.
Yeah. So let's talk about, since the theme of the program is martial arts this week, talk briefly about your martial arts, your background.
I started doing martial arts when I was about 16. It started vaguer than martial arts with kickboxing.
Okay.
But I really like the aggressiveness and the volatile combat centeredness of the general theme of kickboxing. And then I...
You got tired of just punching people in the balls over and over again until they fell over?
Kicking people in the balls. But I
transitioned
into jiu-jitsu after that. I did that for just not even 2 years, just about a year and a half. And then when I moved to Boulder for college, I went to Chinese martial arts. I ended up going to Chinese Shaolin Kung Fu and then dedicated my life to that for the better part of a decade. I ended up going up to the rank of second degree black belt and teaching at both the Chinese Shaolin Center and also CU Boulder's recreational program for Kung Fu. And yeah, it was a big, big part of my life.
Right on. Mm-hmm. Do you still practice?
Not in the sense of the groups, but
sure.
Yeah, as a personal practice.
Cool. So, I mean, you could still kill at least two out of the three other people in this room very easily.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Probably, yeah.
Assuming no one has a weapon.
I mean, it would take nothing to kill me, so there's at least one.
And yeah, I don't really. I mean, like I said earlier, I've been doing push-ups and crunches and squats, so I'm pretty sturdy. But I still think you could probably kill me. great to have you back, Melati.
Thank you.
And also returning is Billy Ferguson, the Dr. Reverend Billy Ferguson. So how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. My martial arts career began when I was a very young man. The Ninja Turtles had come onto this scene, and I think me and just about everybody else started taking karate lessons.
Did you consider yourself to be a leader, more of a guy who's rude?
I think I was more of a either a Raphael or Michelangelo type.
Okay,
of, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so you won warmer colors. You're an autumn or a summer.
Well, and mostly I liked that they were a little more fun and less serious.
Yeah.
These days, I don't know, could be different. So fooled around with a little bit of that stuff for a while. I've been studying traditional Japanese martial arts for about 15 years. Cross-trained in a little bit of, like Muay Thai and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, just to kind of get a feel for it.
Sure.
I definitely prefer the more traditional, martial arts. I like the ritual, I like the formality. Yeah, that's where I'm at now.
And you practice now?
I do. I'm in between dojos at this point. I have a third-degree black belt in the organization that I'm involved with. I was an assistant instructor in the dojo that I worked with in Los Angeles before moving out here.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess that's about it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you for coming back on the show.
Sure.
This is exciting. So you could also probably kill two out of the other three people in this room.
Oh, definitely, and I would prefer to do it with a sword.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Something in a forged. You know.
Yeah. Very... I mean, it's just preferences. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Hands are fine.
Shannon, what's your martial arts experience? Do you have any?
When I lived in New York,
mm-hmm.
I spent a lot of time at a restaurant called Dojo.
Okay, great.
They had a really good cheese avocado sandwich with carrot dressing.
Okay.
That sounds delicious.
My friend was the bartender, so I got free drinks. That's...
I mean, yeah.
That's my dojo.
That's great. That's great. I love it.
Nate, how about you? What's your martial arts training?
Well, I took Taekwondo as a young man, so I got to the... I raised to the green belt blue stripe level. Before I sort of became frustrated with the economic cost of it for my parents, and I think
you
I just
became frustrated.
Well, yeah, it
you
was
were
weird
for your parents. Your parents.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, it was that. It was also
you were such
know.
A considerate child.
In fairness, like my parents were kind of getting into the divorce thing, and I think there was just this pressure on me to go to this class, and I didn't want to have that pressure. In addition to anyway, it was complicated, but I enjoyed it for the most part. My favorite lesson. From my martial arts training was that Shihan Bob, who was the guy that ran the place that I trained, basically said, "Hey, look, you're not here to learn how to fight. You're here to learn how to not fight, mm-hmm. and only to fight when necessary."
Legit lesson.
Yeah.
By the way,
and the great lesson was like he had this backpack with textbooks in, and he said, "Okay, the first lesson we're going to do is you are walking down the street, and someone comes up to bully you. What do you do with this backpack?" And then the training was basically like, throw the backpack at the bully and get the fuck out of there. And I was like, that's cool. I mean, I get it, because at least it's saying, like, you're afraid, and it's legit to be afraid, and don't escalate things. So that was cool. Yeah.
And you might injure him with the backpack. That'd be
a
bonus.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always aiming for the nose. You really want to kind of last Boy Scout that nose bone right into the skull. Mm.
Totes.
Yeah.
Right above your smelling tooth.
Yeah, get it above that smelling tooth. Okay. So, yeah, so we've got 10 topics for you on martial arts. And which of the two of you wants to go first? Or do you guys want to... Oh, yeah. You did a little cross pointy.
Whatever.
Yeah?
I'm fine to go first.
Okay. Is that that's okay with you? Melody's nodding. Great. Billy, 1 through 10.
Let's pick... okay, I'm going to start with number 9 because the martial arts that I have dedicated myself to, it's an organization that studies 9 different lineages. They're all kind of similarly related.
Okay.
They all have the same grandmaster. So
great.
We have 9 schools within our art. So let's go with number 9.
I like it.
All right,
Shannon,
number 9.
That's yours.
In the same vein of being very serious and honoring our background, this is going to be a round of fuck, marry, kill.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's get with the reverent.
The very serious options of Hong Kong Phooey, Samurai Jack, and Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah. Who are you going to fuck? Who are you going to marry? Who are you going to kill?
Oh, boy. I'm going to be real bad at this. I haven't seen any of those movies. Zero.
But you know what they look like, right?
Do you know? I know
that
the panda one has a panda.
Yeah.
Do you
Kung Fu Panda
info?
Looks like a panda. Hong Kong Phooey is a dog wearing like an
right.
orange
gi. It's a 1970s Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Yeah. I remember him. And what was the other one?
Samurai Jack is a Cartoon Network.
Oh, yeah. Not quite anime, but like sort of.
I'm going to be honest. I think Samurai Jack's the most handsome out of the group.
It
was a cool cartoon.
I'm inclined to agree.
I don't want to bias you or anything, but I'm just saying.
Okay. So now that I know what those are, what happens next?
You choose who you want to fuck, who you want to marry, and who you want to kill.
Yeah. Oh, geez. I'm going to fuck that panda.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to marry that samurai, and I'm going to kill the other one just because I got to.
The dog. Yeah. Hong Kong Phooey.
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness, Hong Kong Phooey is
pretty
racist in a lot of ways, in retrospect.
Yeah, he kind of deserves it, right?
Super.
I thought about that. I thought about not doing it because it is 1970s. Looking back, it didn't age well.
Yeah.
Boy, but some of those old cartoons are so bad.
It's pretty bad. God. I decided to keep it, though, because the voice of Hong Kong Phooey is Scatman. What's his name?
Oh, Scatman Crothers?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Who's pretty cool. So I thought... That actually gives Hong Kong Phooey a little more.
He's got the shine, man.
Validation
that's
than
crazy.
I thought. Yeah. If you don't know who that is, that's the. I guess was he the groundskeeper from The Shining?
He was the chef from The Shining.
The chef from The Shining.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of other stuff too.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Scatman Crothers. Not to be confused with the I'm a Scatman. That guy, because that's not the same.
That would have been amazing. Yeah. Though, if he tried to do an Asian accent.
Great. Yeah. What? Okay.
Right.
Melody's turn.
Yep.
Who are you going to fuck? Who are you going to marry? Who are you going to kill?
I got to kill the panda because
what?
I have to fuck Samurai Jack because I am not going to fuck an animal. And
that's fair. Okay.
I'm a huge fan of John Wick. And if I kill a dog, then I'm dead.
Ooh, shit.
So.
TikTok.
Then I guess
Melody.
I have to marry the dog, which is okay because, you know. Man's best friend. You're supposed to marry your best friend anyway, right?
Yeah. I mean, nobody's going to be more loyal.
Confusing. But perplexing a little bit, you know, as your partner. But yeah.
All right. I like those answers. Melody, I think I'm going to give you 2.
Thanks.
Billy, I'm going to give you 1 on that.
Huh. All right. Fine.
Maybe
whatever.
If you had expanded on why you chose those things.
Yeah, okay. I'll do better.
Melody, it's your turn. One through 10 minus 9.
6.
Number 6. That one is one of mine.
No, actually, I just said 6.
Oh, you said 6.
Yeah, I'm choosing number 5.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind then.
Really?
I'm just
she does that a lot.
I'm
sometimes
fucking with you, but
she's hanging out. She's just like, 6. I'm like, really?
Now? I'm starting to think this whole dog question thing is up in the air. Mm. You got a dog marriage, you got a samurai sex partner.
The stuff is weird at home, let me just tell you.
Samurai sex partner is a good name for a movie, though, I think. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Samurai
agree.
Sex partner,
I think that's
yeah.
great.
There's no way that hasn't been used yet.
Yeah, I mean, we should, if it hasn't,
I don't
copyright
Google
a vague
it,
idea 2020. Yeah.
I don't want that.
It belongs to us now, if it hasn't been used.
All right, are we going with 5 or 6?
5.
All right, what do you know?
6.
You're getting five. Do you have a vague idea about Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers?
I have a vague idea what the Wu-Tang Clan is.
Go for
it. That they are a rap or hip-hop group. I have a vague idea about what 36 Chambers is in terms of a movie that they drew their song inspiration mm-hmm. from. 36 Chambers was actually based on Kung Fu. So it was 36 tests that had to be done in order to pass or graduate through a school of completion in order to become the full expression of your Kung Fu self. But I could not quote the song for you. I just know that it is a song that they based on that movie because they like that movie.
Nice.
That was good. That was real good.
That was very, very good. Very, not 100% right, but very, very close. All right, Billy, do you have anything to add?
No.
Nate, do you...
I really don't either. I mean, I can pretty much only say what Melody said, which is I know who Wu-Tang is. I've heard of this, but I don't have a lot of depth of knowledge.
Really, the only thing that Melody got wrong is that it's not a song. It's their first album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the 36 Chambers is based on the 36th Chamber of Shaolin, which mm-hmm. is a movie from the 70s. And Enter the Wu-Tang comes from Enter the Dragon. And they were both movies that they... martial arts movies that they really liked. And in general, the Wu-Tang Clan kind of based themselves off of this idea of modern street culture mixed with 70s martial arts culture. And they used a lot of samples from both of those movies in the songs on the album.
Wu-Tang actually raised Macklemore. I don't know if you know that.
But... what?
Yeah.
Like collectively, they just had a baby they passed around.
Don't you know that?
they found him on a stoop in a basket.
Actually, it was a thriller basket. Because
that's what you get when Wu-Tang raised.
There you go.
Took me a second. All right, Melody, again, I'm going to give you 2 points. Thanks. And Billy?
Zero.
I'm going to give you zero because you just said no.
Yeah, I deserve nothing.
I do think 70s martial arts like style is pretty sweet. Right, because mm-hmm. it's like, it's like everything that Tarantino sort of aped in Kill Bill.
It's ridiculous,
like,
but fun.
They really in the '70s kind of went towards that traditional sense of homage, whereas now it's very muted, which is fine because they're doing more stylistic things. But at the same time, if you're talking about traditional martial arts films and what you're going for in terms of like the classical reference. Yeah, the 70s and maybe early 80s really nailed that, and now it's a little bit vaguer.
I agree with you. I agree.
Somebody told me there's a movie, I think, called Lady in the Snow that is basically Kill Bill.
Oh, no way.
And Tarantino basically ripped it off, and it's a movie from the 70s.
I got to check that out.
Speaking of 70s movies with martial arts, I didn't put a lot on here because that was my instinct because that's all I know about martial arts, but I was like, no. No, ask other things. but I was going to ask about Dolomite because I recently watched that feature with Eddie Murphy on Netflix. Did you guys see that? My Name is Dolomite.
Didn't see the movie, but I know about Italy and their mountains, so familiar with the Dolomites.
Oh, yeah.
Which is in Italy.
Yeah.
I don't know if that has much to do.
It doesn't.
That's what he named himself after.
Exactly. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Come on. It's like that word.
Yeah, it's like a spaghetti western / soul sort of mashup thing. I assume.
But yeah, probably very insulting to people that actually do martial arts. But it's so funny to go back and watch those movies where he's literally just waving his arms around and he's like, "This is what those movies are like." Wave karate chop in the air. Anyway,
yeah. I love those.
All right. Billy won. Which one got checked off?
Oh, that was five.
Four, five? Five. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 10.
Okay, let's go with number one.
Number one.
Oh, wow. That's another
Shannon's
one.
Shannon's up again.
Uh-oh.
All right. This one is, Billy, do you have a vague idea about capoeira? And if I said it right.
I have a clear idea about capoeira.
All right. Tell us about it.
This is a Brazilian martial art. It is very heavily associated with dancing. And honestly, if you get really into martial arts, most of them are very similar to dancing. Developed. I hate talking about this stuff because it's like, you know, you have to mention like you know, slave history and things like that, and things happening in the fields and martial arts being disguised and all that kind of thing. I haven't done a ton of capoeira, but I know a little bit about it. So that, I'm going to leave it at that.
Right on.
Yeah, you nailed it.
It looks super cool. It's like you're a breakdance fighter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
With lots of kicking.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of kicking. And spinning on your head and stuff.
All right. Yeah, that's great. Malati, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, he was spot on. It was developed by enslaved African Americans who had come from various parts of the world. Obviously, dark skin isn't just from Africa. So the name of capoeira usually comes from South America, and it is something that was developed from a multicultural blend of slaves, basically, in order to try and, in disguise, train themselves to be more athletic, like they needed that, in order to, just in case they needed to fight hand-to-hand combat against their assailants, be at their top of their game. It looked like dance because there's a lot of flips. There's a lot of going on their hands. It was often done when they would have gatherings around the fire after their long work days. It was a very... It still continues to be a renowned and beautiful martial art because of how athletic it is. I've done a few capoeira classes, and after every single one, my calves are screaming at me. And the next day, it's hard to walk upstairs. Like, truly, it's very... there's so much bouncing and so much just being, you know, like, ready to move from side to side. And then rolling onto your hands, cartwheeling, that kind of thing. And then no connection, no actual combat hitting.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made it even more of an art form, is that they got really good at very closely missing the face or closely acting like they were going to kick, but they didn't. So it looked like a choreographed dance. It went done between skilled practitioners, but it really was an improvised physical mock fight, but with no connection, no contact.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that kind of begins the conversation that I always avoid, which I'm starting right now, which is like,
great,
which martial art is better than the other one? And I don't like this conversation for many reasons, mostly because taking these things out of context is very difficult. You know, You put a capoeira guy against like a taekwondo guy, there's going to be a lot of kicking, but the different types of kicking.
Oh, sure.
So, yeah. So like, how does this make sense? What happens? Is this a meaningful conversation? Usually no. And that's because it comes down to, you know, who's the better fighter? You know, are you going to use your stuff that you know better than the other guy?
Right. Yeah.
That's really what you're talking about. And you can spend your entire life on the internet arguing with other people about martial arts and which one's better and which one's worse and so on and so forth. And taekwondo and capoeira will come up in these conversations a lot, and they will be dismissed as
what, like, is like glam arts or something, like, or they're just for show,
right? Or like they're just, or, you know, insulting things.
Is,
like,
anybody repping, like, tai chi? Like, what's going on?
This is ineffective, you know, and things like that. And it's unfortunate because it's not really about which one is better. You know, it comes down to the person that's practicing it. I've seen videos, since you mentioned tai chi.
Oh, sure.
Of old tai chi masters going up against, oh god, was it like judo guys or somebody who should be able to, like, grab you and toss your ass
right
on the mat, no problem. And these old tai chi dudes are like, you can't fucking move me. And it's weird to watch.
Yeah.
You know, you've got this,
oh,
like,
I imagine it's got to, like, be incredible if there's like a
athletic dude,
yeah,
young guy trying to throw this old
man. There's like
man,
a 60, and, 67 year old man who's
and
just
this old man
the
is
position.
Just like, you know, I'm just kind of dropping my weight and I'm moving around and nothing that you're doing matters.
Yeah.
And this younger guy who's, like, used to tossing people around just gets frustrated and frustrated and frustrated. And it's beautiful to watch. point I'm trying to make here is that this argument is bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No one should engage in it.
No.
And
You can't pick a best of arts.
Right.
Like, that would be like, well, what's better, music, painting, or dancing? They're all different.
Music.
Okay. Well, okay, fine. That was probably too broad.
It's hard to dance without music.
What's better, ballroom, tap, or breakdancing?
Yeah.
Breakdancing.
No.
Who's gonna vote for tap dancing?
No, tap. Actually, I might vote for tap.
That's because you're just decidedly, I don't know, atrocious right now.
I think Melody, you're discounting the people who can't click in their lives, right? And tap is what
about,
gives
like, the
them
noise
a click.
That the clap, the tap dancers,
yeah,
the clap dancers make.
Yeah, the clap dancers.
Yeah.
The clap dancers.
Yeah, they went to Vietnam. They did some things that they shouldn't have done, and they came back as clap dancers. Yeah.
That's funny that you brought that up as the example, though, because the reason I picked this is because I've always thought this was pretty cool, and I first learned about it from a friend of mine that was a dancer that was incorporating it into... Mm-hmm. He was a choreographer, and he was incorporating it
and that's
into
beautiful.
His pieces.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is also a very funny, if not probably accurate, episode of the cartoon show Bob's Burgers.
Yes, I was going to ask the name of the guy, but I thought that would be way too obscure.
Where Bob puts, Bob puts Gene in a capoeira class.
No, it's Tina.
Oh, Tina.
Tina
that's
falls
right.
in love
yeah.
with the capoeira
Tina
teacher.
Tina falls in love with the capoeira teacher.
Of course
teacher.
She does.
And so Bob has to go in there and like fight him, and he doesn't do anything, really. He just sort of stands there, and the guy's just kind of...
Gyro.
He's doing a very douchey
gyro.
Sort of.
He calls
Bob
it sexy dance fighting.
Sexy dance fighting.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very silly, but it is one of the things I think of. Other than there is a Street Fighter V character who does capoeira also that is pretty cool. A little hard to control, but very effective when you can link combos. Anyway.
I think you both did great. I'm going to give you 3 points each.
Hey.
Thank you.
Look at that. All right. So let's see. Melody, 2, 3, 4. 6, 7, 8, or 10?
Sex.
Sex?
Yep.
Yeah.
Also 6.
Also 6. Okay, good. I'm not falling for it twice. Fool me once. Fool me twice. The George W. Bush quote.
You got to keep your eye on her.
Well, guys, it's time
for
the...
You're not going to fool me again.
Can't fool me again.
You can't fool me. It's time for the Thunderdome.
Does that mean we have to actually fight?
Yes. Yeah, no, you do actually have to fight. That's all I did. No. This week in the Thunderdome... Yeah, she's going to tell a story later. It's going to be great. This week in the Thunderdome, your battle is between the incredible Donnie Yen and the venerable Jackie Chan. Who wins in a fight to the death?
If it happened today?
Yeah.
Oh, unfortunately.
Well, okay. Oh. In their primes.
No,
because
no.
I don't want to say, because if you say now, then it's like, well, yeah, Jackie Chan's 70 and Donnie Yen's 50. So, of course, Donnie Yen's going to fuck up Jackie Chan.
That's,
like,
yeah.
that's not
Jackie
okay.
Jackie Chan is 70?
I think so. He's close to it.
Yeah.
He's close to it.
Yeah, we're old.
He was on a show. So there's this weird show that we found on Hulu that's called It's Actually Me, where these celebrities go and they post stuff on all these different websites. And Jackie Chan was on that show.
Jackie Chan is 65.
65. Yeah.
Wow.
It's the new 70. It's also
Donnie
the new 50.
Chen is.
I think Donnie Yen is 50.
Donnie Yen is 56.
56? Okay. So it's not that big. Okay. Anyway.
In their primes, it's harder, obviously, because...
Very different styles, very different purposes.
Jackie Chan has dedicated his life to being a performer.
Sure.
He is nimble and... speedy and
he's theatrical.
Very theatrical. Yes,
yeah,
beautifully
yeah.
theatrical. Amazing to watch. Super entertaining. Such a joy to like represent a martial art because he's very accurate in a lot of what he does. Kind of set the standard for being a martial arts performer who does the majority of his own stunts.
Oh man, yeah. Like the it's always the blooper reel, the end of any Jackie Chan movie, right?
Yeah.
Like that's
he,
the thing.
He
oh,
gave
man.
Way to so many others who are like, oh yeah, okay, of course I do it myself because
yeah.
I can because I'm that talented.
Yeah.
Donnie Yen is precise. Donnie Yen is more classically trained in that Jackie's education was a little bit more wushu, which is mean is theatrical martial arts,
okay.
which mm-hmm. is not discountable,
oh, no,
but
yeah.
also slightly less effective lethally.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
you're not going to be able to like slap somebody five times.
It makes me mad.
Can you all give just a brief description of who each person is in case our listeners don't know?
Oh, sure. I mean, Jackie Chan is a renowned Chinese martial artist actor who's been in movies like Rumble in the Bronx and Super Cop and, I mean,
great movies.
500 more. he's fucking fantastic. And the blooper reels are always the thing for me where the end of the movie you get to see him like, oh, he broke his leg jumping onto a boat. And he's like, yeah, I'm cool. I'll be back tomorrow to film more. And he's incredible. And Donnie Yen is definitely more of I think he's more of a formal martial artist. Mm-hmm. I most know him from... like Rogue One is his most contemporary touch point, which is that, you know, he plays a blind sort of force sensitive character who is amazing, but he's been
so
in a bunch of
movie.
What else has he been in?
He's been in XXX.
Okay.
The Return of Xander Cage.
Yeah.
He's in the upcoming Mulan movie.
Oh, great. He was in another series of movies too. And I'm not placing
Ip Man.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. The Ip Man movies. He's great. And yeah.
I'm glad you said that because I was going to read it as IP Man because of my computer background.
not quite. Anyway, it's hard for me to say this because of how much I adore Jackie, but I think Donnie Yen, if they were both in their prime, he would probably defeat him because of his seriousness. And Jackie, again, more of a performer. Again, no less athletic, no less amazing and beautiful to watch, but just with the focus with Donnie's training on fatality, which is literally how I was trained. Like,
oh, sure.
We never had in Chinese Shaolin Kung Fu, we don't spar for competition because all of our moves were.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, for in the time
make
I've known
it so
you,
they
in
can't
the,
ever get back up.
In the nearly 20 years I've known you, you've killed 17 people.
Shh.
I know.
18,
well, I
18.
Oh, well, good. Hey, as long as we're keeping a good tally.
I'm 18.
Was that on the way here tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a cutting crew thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm just dying in your arms tonight. Great. Billy.
I'm going to disagree, and I'm going to go with Jackie Chan.
Okay, great.
Just because I think Jackie Chan has this kind of Hollywood glamour.
Okay.
And all the evidence that I've seen would imply that he's going to, you know, rip the antenna off a nearby parked car and beat you with it.
Yeah.
Or improvise in some kind of way that that other dude, he's not familiar with that. You know?
Okay.
Like,
sure.
Jackie Chan's been mixing it up for such a long time. He's just going to be like, I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'll whoop your ass. And that's it.
I think that's great. Yeah, because I mean, Jackie Chan can definitely go, hey, this is a parking cone, but it's also possibly the way that I comedically escape this situation.
Yes.
Where well, Donnie Yen's going to be like, hey, look, I'm precise. I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. And if that parking cone hits me in the face, it's going to be irritating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I buy it. Yeah. I'm going to give Billy. I'm going to give Billy 3 points. I'm going to give Melody 2.5 points.
Half points.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I give half points. Shannon hasn't given half points yet, but we'll get there.
I forgot that we can do that.
Oh, you can do whatever you want. I gave a 3/4 point one time. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
I think on the anniversary show, I gave you like infinity points. At one
time. Yeah, I know. Yeah. There was, yeah, that was fun to add the sound effect in infinity times.
In post.
Yeah, everything in post. Okay.
All right, we're on Billy now.
Yeah.
So, okay, I gotta pick a new number. Let's do number 8.
Number 8. All right. It's time from the makers of Pomme aux Pommes de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing. The only thing that's French about it is the name at this point. Here's your scenario. You're a diamond in the rough, a brilliant ball of clay. You could be a work of art if you just go all the way.
Thank you.
So my question is, is everybody kung fu fighting?
Oh, no. I'm going to go with no. I think... everybody can be kung fu fighting.
Sure. Yeah.
So maybe that's a yes. Will everybody, because they dedicate time and effort to their art, actually excel at it? No.
That's
some
fair.
People will, and some people won't. And there's no reason to, you know, take the participation trophy approach and just be like, yes, you will be a good martial artist.
Yeah.
You won't. You have to put in the time. If you want to be good at something, you have to do it every day.
It's that 1,000 hours thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You really got to do stuff.
You know, 10,000 kicks.
Right? Yeah.
That's the thing, right? So, yeah. Nah.
All right. I mean, everybody isn't Kung Fu fighting.
No.
Okay. Melody.
No.
Okay. Anything? Wow.
All she had was a smirk.
Yeah. All yeah. Right. That was
a smirk. The obvious answer to this is to look at politics and be like, holy crap, guys. Sloppy AF. What are you doing? Like, yeah. It's so just embarrassing.
Sure.
To represent our country with what's happening between our two giant political parties right now, yeah. And be like, wow, this is just a cluster. There's no finesse. There's no like, oh, that was a really good kick. You know, just good training leading to it being a kung fu fight.
Oh,
truly,
yeah.
Which is my martial arts, kung fu.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say with ardor and fever that it's just not. It is a drunken whiskey bar brawl, and they don't know what the fuck they're doing, and it's terrifying.
Sounds fun.
Hot damn. Yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, fun. Except it's not fun. That's yeah. Like the other thing of it. It's
I think
like, it's
I think that's
dangerous.
The thing, right? Is that it is fun until the bottle like catches you in the eye because somebody misses the person they mean to swing
yeah.
at, and you're like, oh. Wow, this wasn't good at all.
No. Nope.
Like, there's no resolution here.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very, very interesting. I would like to go off on a rant, but I think I'm going to abstain for the moment. Though I will say something about, as you can't buy your belts in a martial art, as you can't buy the technique that comes with... Right, you should not be able to. You should not be able to buy your way into any sort of political activity as well. And that's it.
You totally can. Though.
Shannon, do you have any thoughts about, you know, is everybody kung fu fighting?
I think it's a state of mind.
Yeah.
And I think I'm kung fu fighting.
Great.
In my mind.
Do you feel like you're fast as lightning?
It's a little bit frightening.
Oh, great. I mean, I believe it. Those were all lyrics from the song,
yeah.
Which is a fantastic song.
Great song.
Yeah, great. 5 points each. You guys did excellently.
Yeah. Cracking them up over here.
Okay.
It's Melody's turn.
Melody. Two, three, four, seven, or ten.
Two.
Number two. Okay. Do you have a vague idea about martial arts therapy? Martial arts therapy.
No. but I could guess that it is therapy based on learning martial arts.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty accurate.
To embellish, I guess I would say that people may gain a sense of confidence or lack of anxiety or fear by starting to be a little bit more self-aware, know how to hold themselves in a public space in such a way that they are more just, you know, socially aware of what their threats are, and then also be able to defend themselves in the occurrence that they might get attacked. So I'm not sure what it is, but I would guess by the name that it's a way to train people in the hopes that their social anxieties and fears are alleviated in some way.
That was very good. Not everything, very good.
Thanks.
And yeah, I mean, I think that's a lot of it. I mean, that's part of the reason why I took Taekwondo in the first place was it was just like I'm a tiny little scrawny boy. And I wanted to do something. And then I was sort of, you know, as I got into it, I was like, wow, I can't really kick the bag at all the way any of these much larger humans can. That's another story. Billy, do you have a vague idea about martial arts therapy? Can you add anything?
This is a new term for me.
Okay.
It sounds like therapy that you would prescribe someone that is involved with martial arts. It just really...
You got all this. You got all this belt stress. You got here. Take some Quaaludes.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like
chill out.
Like something that, as a medical provider, I would prescribe someone who I thought maybe needed to relieve some stress. So
sure.
Oh yes, I'm prescribing you martial arts therapy. Where no, you need something more therapeutic than just screaming into a pillow. You need to go like
punch a bag or like manhandle another human body.
Or womanhandle them.
Yeah, womanhandle. Yeah. I mean, that was...
And we just want...
This, that was intended as a gender neutral.
No, I know. I understand.
but as a more physical kind of way of exercising these sort of things, other than that, I have no idea.
Yeah, no, that was. I mean, that's good, too. That's great. Yeah, martial arts therapy refers to the usage of martial arts as an alternative or complementary therapy for a medical disorder. So it can include anything, body or mind. It includes things like using Tai Chi or Chuan. Is that pronounced properly?
Tai Chi Chuan.
Tai Chi Chuan.
Jinx.
Great.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke now.
For
how much Coke?
The elderly or impaired, or for working with reducing aggressiveness in specific populations. So basically, it's kind of the
prescribing martial arts.
It's a fun blanket term for, hey, you know, you're kind of a dick. Maybe you should go punch this thing instead of being a dick to everybody.
Yeah,
and
makes sense.
You know, I mean, that's math and science, I guess, you know, in its own way.
For sure.
But I do think that everybody should, and I assume you guys both agree that everybody should take some form of martial arts at some point in their lives, just because it is about, you know, it is really about kind of getting a perspective on self and a center. And
I wouldn't necessarily say that everybody should do it, but I would. I do think it's like from a professional perspective, I think everyone should have some sort of physical discipline.
Sure. Yeah. Whether you need some sort of outlet.
Whether it's martial arts or it's yoga.
You can just weightlift or you can yoga.
Yeah,
weightlifting
at the gym, whatever. Yeah. Like do something with your body, because otherwise, like, that's a huge part of you that you're not in touch with.
Yeah. And it will mess with your brain.
Yeah. Yeah. It changes your brain stuff.
I always thought that if I were ever to have children, which is essentially humans that you rule over for, you know, the first couple decades of their life.
Yeah.
Or almost the majority of, you can tell them what they have to do.
Oh,
and
sure.
If I was like, okay, if I was in charge of trying to make a couple of humans the best versions of humans that they could be, what would I do? And the only things that I would make mandatory is three things. They would have to learn a martial art of their choice.
Sure.
They could choose everything, anything. You know,
there,
any
there
kind
literally
of,
hundreds of them.
Right. Combat.
Lots
of their
options.
Choice.
Yeah.
They have to choose a musical instrument. Anything. Singing, drums, trombone, whatever. You know, like whatever you like. And then they also have to choose an art form of some sort. Like painting, drawing, pottery. I don't know. Anything else that they thought would be beneficial. And then...
Are you concerned if you have a child who is an MMA drummer who also does only Jackson Pollock style abstracts? No. Where you're like, wow, you're not
a lot of
you're
red
really
flags.
Like you're just all you're just all flinging stuff, and that's cool because it is valuable.
That kid is probably a psycho.
High energy psycho.
Typically, the child will give up at least one of those things in their early teens.
Yeah.
You know,
as all of us know, we all had hobbies that we don't. Yeah.
And then the last thing, if I could like be like, okay, just one more thing to make you cooler, is learn a second language. Please, for the love of God, try.
Like,
just pick anything.
Two or three languages is good.
I know.
It's just fun. Yeah. It's fun to learn stuff.
How many days are you on?
I think I'm on 372 right now. A Francais.
Oh, your Duolingo streak?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You've been on that.
It's been going. I'm hitting 100 a day. I gotta do 100 XP a day. That's my deal. And I'm ahead of everybody right now, but I'm sure Melody will catch up to me and pass me
during the week. Her streak is stupid.
Well, I just mean like your week to week experience, because that's the thing that I see in the sidebar. Mm. I'm sure your streak is like 1,500 or 2,500 or something absurd.
1,329.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I aspire to get there someday.
Is that days in a row? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What does that break down to? Like 3.5 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a long time.
There is not a single thing I've done every day for 3.5 years. And that includes like bathing and brushing
language.
My teeth. And there's nothing. There's not a single thing.
You might have pooped all of those days.
No, I'm sure I've broken that. In 3.5 years, there's definitely been a day I didn't poop. There's nothing.
I love it.
I'm lucky
I love
to brush
it.
My teeth like 5 times a week.
Okay. Yeah, great job on martial arts therapy. Let's see. I don't know. 2 points each. You were both very good.
Thanks.
You both added a lot.
Did you have anything to add to that? Because, I mean, I think both of us, it was more of a vaguer idea.
No, I mean, I read the part that I knew.
Okay.
So, I mean, I've got that, which is just that it's, you know, it's for people dealing with different sort of things, whether it's dealing with aggressiveness or age or whatever. Okay. So, but I do think it's valuable for anyone to at least try a martial art for a period of time, because it's just a different space, right? I think that's a lot of it. It is a different energy and a different space to experience, because you don't have that in most sort of contemporary Western American spaces.
Yeah.
Like, you can go to a meetup, great. And the meetup, everybody's going to be like, oh, you do enough stuff, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no. You need to go to somewhere where you can kind of chill out. And martial arts gives you that. It's kind of, I mean, it is kind of what yoga does, but it's also, anyway.
Well, and there are some very practical applications as well. Like, I trained with this very old lady for a long time, and she was, you know, for the most part, dreadful at the finer points of the martial art. But she was, she had a attempted carjacking.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, like, opened her door and tried to, like, take her keys and throw her out of the car. And she stomp kicked him in the chest.
Great.
Retained her keys and drove away. And it's like, you win.
Yeah.
That's it. That's,
yeah. Like, I mean, that should be everybody's fantasy, right? Is that, like, hey, if somebody tries to aggress on me, I can destroy them in that moment.
Right. And it wasn't
not
even
destroy them completely, but just get out of the situation.
Not total destruction. Just like, I am going to spin sideways in my driver's seat, stomp kick you in the chest so that you can't take my car away from me.
Because you're going to be like, I can't breathe for three to 5 minutes.
Right. And you're also like, that old woman just came at me hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, there you go.
Maybe I should pick a different vocation criminal.
She was a rocket scientist that worked at Lockheed
Martin.
Yeah, Lockheed probably.
Or no, it was Raytheon.
Raytheon. Okay. Yeah.
Whatever, right? But still.
It's all military industrial complex to me, but
What do you think, though, of the idea that, I mean, people that are trained in martial arts, defending themselves in that kind of situation versus people that have been taught, oh, just give the person whatever they want and try and survive the situation? Because, like, if that happened to me, I'd just be like, yeah, here are my keys.
Yeah, that's tricky, right? Because in most situations, I think what you just said is probably the better choice. You know, somebody points a gun at you and says, give me your shit. You give them your shit.
Right.
Because
it's kind of, you throw your backpack at them and run away.
Yeah, you throw that backpack and you run.
Or except you just give them the backpack.
If you've had some martial arts training and you know, like, yeah, I went through like a weekend thing where I learned how, like, maybe I can profile my body and grab the gun and disarm this person. Like, is that a good idea?
I just feel like that's a terrible idea.
No, it's a terrible idea because if anything goes wrong, you get shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe if I had years of experience, like Malati, but most people I think are like, oh, I do this as like an exercise regimen once a month or something.
Yeah, it would be like taking your jazzercise class and being like, well, I'm going to step up on this person.
And I train
because I'm used to stepping up on a block.
I trained with this dude for a long, like for many years together. Where like very early on in his life, he was held up, and he decided to not hand over his wallet to a mugger, and he was shot, and he still had bullet fragments in his body.
Yeah,
and really like, yeah, handing over your wallet sucks, and you might lose some cash, and you have to go to the DMV, which is also a nightmare, and get your cards replaced and things like that.
But
sacrificing your life potentially more important
than a wallet? No.
Than your wallet? No.
Yeah.
If right now, if somebody mugged me for my wallet, I'd be like, take my fucking wallet.
Yeah.
My general rule of thumb is give them anything they want, but don't go to a second location.
Yeah. No, I think it's fair, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, so that's the thing you fight against.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't get kidnapped. That's the thing. Yeah. Don't get kidnapped.
If I've been drinking whiskey and somebody's like, give me your wallet, and they like come at me with a knife. I don't know.
Well, yeah, no, that's the thing, right?
That's the whiskey talking.
Well, yeah. And you're,
it's the whiskey talking, and,
but you're also like, a person who has the skill set to parry a knife thrust and be like, "Hey, I got your wrist, and I'm going to twist your radius, and I'm going to break your fucking arm off, and I'm going to punch you through the skull." I mean, that's a different
ideally,
thing.
Yes, but yeah. I also have
it
to
may
be,
not work.
I also have to be comfortable with the idea that I will likely get cut.
Oh, you're going to get cut.
Yeah, almost certainly.
Yeah,
and
then it's like, well, hey, I'm managing a superficial wound versus an emergency room wound.
Yeah, so you know, you got to measure these things. When you go into a knife fight, you got to expect to be cut. If you go into a gunfight, you should expect to be shot.
Sure,
That's how it works.
Yeah, yeah,
it's not ideal.
That's how corrals are,
which is why
okay or otherwise
in general. In general, you don't go into these kind of fights and you say, oh, you want my wallet. You can have it. It's fine.
Hell yeah.
Like, I'll get another one. No big deal.
Did I score already?
Yeah.
Great.
You scored. We did martial arts therapy. You gave both contestants 2 points. And
excellent.
And now it's Billy's turn to pick.
Billy's turn.
Let's
3, 4, 7,
number
or
10. Seven.
Number seven.
Number seven. Oh, that one's me. What do you know? Or God, I gotta get used to this.
Yeah,
hosting.
It's the name
of our podcast.
Yeah, do you have
I
a vague idea
it.
About the thing?
Do you have a vague idea? It's because I don't have your radio voice.
Do you have a vague idea, about
Billy? Do you have a vague idea about Chun Kuk Do?
I've never heard that word in my whole life, as far as I know. No, not at all.
I might be pronouncing it wrong. It's three words. Chun Kuk K-U-K Do Dio.
It really doesn't sound familiar to me.
All right, Melody, do you have a vague idea about Chun Kuk Do?
No.
All right. This was kind of a last minute question. I threw it in there. Chun Kuk Do is a martial art founded by Chuck Norris.
Okay, one of them.
Yeah.
That awesome dude that we all love, who's not at all terrible.
He's super great.
We both have
Walker, Texas Ranger.
About Walker, Texas Ranger, but his official martial art.
So this is an actor.
It's based around kicking in denim, right? Like very tight denim, like very like constrictive denim.
No.
And,
you know
and
about his
hats.
Jeans? From the 70s? This is important.
He had special 70s jeans?
I'm going to hijack a
oh,
moment.
Shit.
Of
do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What?
He had the Chuck Norris action crotch jeans.
Oh, my God.
Action crotch then. Jeans?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that how they were marketed?
Uh-huh. Weird, right? But they had an elastic gullet, like a diamond-shaped bit of fabric.
I found them online.
Yeah, you did. It didn't take much.
I put in action crotch jeans, so uh-huh. It came right up.
Yes, and that was because you can't kick real high in normal jeans.
Right.
But if you have the Chuck Norris action crotch elastic gullet jeans or whatever the hell it is, you know, there's this extra bit of fabric in there, which is how martial arts pants are designed. Where they're
bigger. They're billowy.
Well, they're bigger.
Billowy.
And then they have this diamond-shaped piece of fabric in the middle of the crotch.
So that you can lift your legs up in
multiple
directions.
Exactly. Yeah. And these were meant to look like regular hot-ass tight 70s jeans.
Less terrible.
I think that's the name of this episode.
Hot-ass tight terrible. 70s jeans?
Oh, I was just thinking action crotch jeans.
Oh, wait, no, action crotch jeans is great. Okay, yep.
Yeah, I've been looking for a pair like on eBay or whatever in my size for a long time, and I've never found them. There's a couple of companies out there that are trying to market something that is inferior. I haven't bought them yet. Anyway, it's a thing.
That's amazing.
So you can kick somebody in the head and still like have tight ass pants that like show your bulge.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's really the point.
It's important.
It's about flexing your masculinity at every possible interval.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless of context.
Totally.
Because that's really all reality is, right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to go back to your politics rant, that's really all reality is, right, Melody?
So much.
I don't really do anything else.
Yeah, so Chuck Norris, Walker, Texas Ranger, he has 7 black belts.
Did Melania get a chance
that's
to go?
A lot of belts.
I said no.
They both said no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we didn't know what the hell his
it was Chun Kuk Do, which
that's
neither
his
one
thing.
Of them knew.
Sorry.
Now I'm just saying, Chuck Norris, 7 black belts, Walker Texas Ranger,
7 black belts.
Gene Manufacturer decided that he needed to make his own martial art. So he came up with this thing, and it's got a code of honor and rules to live by. That there's 10 of them. I'm not going to read them all, but they all kind of sound like commandments because he's super Christian.
Yeah, so it's basically where capitalism and the idea of martial arts intersect.
I mean, I'll just say one of the codes of conduct is that you always remain loyal to your God and your country. So
Christ.
Yes, yay. Jesus Christ, probably the right one.
Yeah, that one, that one.
America, fuck yeah!
All right, so since neither one of you knew
classic country.
I'm going to give you both 10 points.
Great, wow. Shit. 10 points each.
Unfortunately, there's this very prolific trend of people like Chuck Norris or Stephen K. Hayes who, like, go study martial arts in the East and then bring it back to the West and decide like that they know enough about it that they can promote it in a new way.
Right. I'm a brand ambassador now because
I branded. He branded his own
It's disgusting.
Martial arts.
Except more than
it's
branding
got like
it,
a
he renamed it his own shit and made it his thing. And
he renamed it. There's an annual competition that I'm sure costs a lot of money to enter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, like from a realistic Asian martial arts perspective, it's atrocious. Like it's that.
Oh yeah,
that kind of a thing is so offensive.
Oh yeah.
That's kind of why I asked it because it was so ridiculous. I had to bring it up.
It's horrible, but it happens all the time.
I was telling Nate I struggled with even asking it because I didn't want to give Chuck Norris any like airtime.
Right. Yeah, we don't.
But it was
like...
so ridiculous.
Oh, you got to.
I had to bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a monster.
Oh, burn.
Great.
Melati.
3, 4, or 10?
Number 4.
Do you have a vague idea about chop sake? Chop sake.
What the fuck?
Chop sake.
I saw this one on the list. I didn't know what this one was either. I haven't looked it up yet, so I'm curious.
It's a weird one.
I can throw some
hints around, but only when we're ready.
Yeah.
It's okay, sweetheart. I don't know what the fuck that is.
I know. I'm just weirded out by the phrasing.
Chop sake?
It's chop like sake. Set up to be like chop suey, which I know about. I know what sake is, obviously, because I drink it all the time.
In fairness, I can give you spelling. Okay. It is... chop, C-H-O-P, and then sake, S-O-C-K-Y.
Does not help.
Okay.
Chop sake.
Oh. I'll go ahead
it's
and answer.
It's when you wear socks while you're playing hockey. Also.
Terrible.
While you're skating, you hit them with your palms. Da-da-da-da.
Okay.
No,
okay. Sure. Sure. Billy?
Nothing.
Chop sake?
You got nothing over here.
Nothing? Nothing at all. Okay. Shannon, do you know anything about chop sake?
Well, they were answering.
I mean,
I
you said
it.
That you did.
I Googled it.
Yeah.
Shannon.
I like that it's tied to the Wikipedia page says, see also.
Yeah.
Bruce Ploitation.
Yeah. Oh, Bruce Ploitation. Yeah.
Wait, let's see. Does
like
that
Bruce
give
Lee?
You? Yeah. Does
Bruce
that give
Lee,
you?
Bruce Lee, of course. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean.
I love him.
Who doesn't love him?
What would Bruce Ploitation be?
Exploitation of Bruce Lee?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. 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 Chop sake is a term that was coined by Variety magazine in the 1970s. It's a colloquial term that's basically designed to encompass martial arts films and kung fu films made primarily in Hong Kong and Taiwan between 1960 and the early 1980s.
Okay.
So it's sort of like if chop sake films are these sorts of like bigger... overblown theatrical martial arts films. The term came about following the release of Five Fingers of Death.
Good
and,
movie.
Yeah, and I mean the word it's a play on chop suey.
I like Bruce Ploitation better.
Yeah, and Bruce Ploitation is better.
I also think that would be a better name.
But yeah, I thought it was a weird. It's a weird artifact in film history to have this term that classifies a lot of films.
Chopsaki.
Yeah. Yeah.
So strange.
Yeah. I'm not backing it. I don't think it's great. I just think it's an interesting piece of art.
You're a horrible racist.
I am.
I don't want to associate with you anymore.
This podcast has always been that. Everyone knows. That's what this show is about. But yeah, great job. I'm going to give you, you're going to get 10 points each. Yeah.
Man, we are killing it today.
Yeah, you're crushing.
That's what you get when we ask questions that you don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's Billy's turn again. Billy.
Okay.
Three or 10.
3 or 10? Golly, I don't know. Let's do number 10.
Number 10. Number 10 it is. Okay. We're going to do a new game called Tell Me a Story.
What?
Okay. So for Tell Me a Story, you need to tell me a story about either martial arts or you kicking ass.
I mean, those are kind of the same thing.
Sure. Then tell me the story.
Okay.
You're both going to get a chance to tell a story.
I'm going
to
tell you a martial arts story about where I sort of kicked ass, but also was defeated at the same time. So
great.
So it's a little meta.
That's a beautiful narrative.
So, an old dojo that I used to train at in Torrance, California.
Yeah.
Which is like shithole LA.
Yeah.
It's basically like how you
Red Rum.
Translate. Yeah.
Danny Torrance.
Yeah. Bring It On. I think Bring It On took place in Torrance, California.
Bring On too.
Did it really? Okay.
Rancho Carne High School in Torrance, California.
Oh, nice. So
it's already been broadened.
I was there and
that's my martial art. Sorry. Not cheerleading, just watching movies about cheerleading.
Yeah, just watching cheerleading movies. That's my martial art.
Just hanging out at the theater. I was ready for class and you know, it was just sort of like hanging out, and apparently there were some new people there. And I had a sensei who was not like super aware,
okay,
and always making the best decisions. And because there were new people there, he knew that I could kick the heavy bag, you know, like the heavy bag.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The big heavy thing that hangs from the ceiling, and you like you punch it and you kick it, and it's like, it's long. It's about the size of a human.
Yeah, no, my aspiration was always to make that bag actually move, like flex in the way that the bigger guys could, where when they would throw a roundhouse at it,
very
it would
difficult.
Actually like bend,
mm-hmm,
right? And no, I never did that.
Yeah, so yeah, a thing that I could do was kick it with both feet at the same time at face level. So that meant I had to jump up,
mm-hmm,
stomp, kick it at the same level that my head's at, and then you know, you basically like hit the ground in a crouch and like kind of roll out of it. Whatever.
You're deadly.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Well,
you're a deadly murderer.
He just wanted me to show these new folks that like this is something that we can do around here,
mm-hmm,
and I was like, cool, yeah, no problem, whatever. But I wasn't really warmed up because I just got there, and oh, Melody's like,
oh, yeah,
we're looking at a photo, and it is
that
remarkable,
is badass,
yeah, yeah.
That photo is not from this exact time, but what happened was, I was like, fine, okay. I jumped up. I kicked the bag in the face with both my feet. When I landed on the ground, I think it was my right foot. For whatever reason, my toes were curled under.
Mm-hmm.
And so I landed on top of them.
Oof.
And so the pressure goes down and the toes are underneath. And like I like strained or tore a bunch of ligaments,
yeah,
in the top of my foot.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good at all.
Yeah, it was real bad. And then it's like class hasn't even started yet. And so I'm like, ow, really ow. And and rather than be like, I need to leave, I was like, I'll probably be fine. And then I hang out for the rest of the class, like, you know, but like an hour later, I'm like, wow, I really made some big mistakes today. And I had plans to go like meet some friends on the beach to like do like weird psychedelic shit or something. And like by the time I get there, I'm just like dragging my leg behind me, like barely walking. And you should just really always be aware of these kind of physical things.
Always,
and like,
straighten your feet.
Yeah,
that's the lesson there.
I think what I can tell
you
is,
if you need
that,
ice, go get some fucking ice.
Like, I feel like I put myself in a similar position from just like, I don't know, working out at home,
uh-huh,
and then being like, oh, I have to drag my dead foot through Brooklyn during this guy's bachelor party weekend. Like, because I've definitely been in that spot.
Yeah.
So like, it's like, oh, I'm in terrible condition because this is very breakable.
Sometimes you should take a break. You should get some ice.
Yeah.
And that's not what I did at that time because I thought I needed to be fancy and tough. And
yeah,
you
yeah.
never need to be fancy or tough.
You
need ice when you need ice.
Yeah, don't be a tough guy. I rolled my ankle playing like just fun basketball at the Y down on 16th and Lincoln and rolled it really bad. And I was like, no, I'm just going to play through this. It's fine. Whatever.
Terrible.
And then it was like 3 weeks. My ankle looks terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I probably broke something, but I don't have insurance, and our healthcare system is fucking garbage. Exactly. So I'm not going to find out.
Yeah.
Melody, it's your turn. Tell me a story about kicking ass or about martial arts.
Two words, Nate. Shoeless one.
Yeah. Yeah. I was hoping you would. I was hoping you would allude to this story.
Oh. So this is a story.
that is
legendary among our close friends and also just sort of maniacally unbelievable upon like the outer circle who's like, that didn't really happen. It did happen. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was beautiful and crazy. So the scene is Boulder, right around 2003, 2002.
Something like that.
Early knots. Mm-hmm. And we are non-graduates, but are close friends. It's a close group of mine. The funny thing is that Nate wasn't there.
I wasn't there.
Quite there yet.
Yeah.
But that it was our mutual friends, Jared and myself, and a close friend of Jared's, Jonathan, who we all, the three of us, decided to go to a bar, which no longer exists in Boulder together. It used to be called The Library.
Library Bar.
Mm-hmm. It was downhill
on
from
Boulder Creek.
Yeah, it was downhill from the hill. And to get to the hill, you would, you know, wander up Broadway towards the remainder of the hill, quote unquote, that was there. And there would be a lot of bars and everything. But we went there as like sort of a in-between places to go, place to just have a drink and just be very casual about it. This guy with an accent started to talk to me. Mm-hmm. He was not very clear about what he's saying to me, but the majority of what was conveyed was that he wanted to know my name. I was at the bar. Nobody else was there with me. I told him I didn't want to tell him my name. In so many words. And
how are you giving me your name?
Shh. Like and that? I didn't.
It was like
basically
that.
Yeah. Like what happened was that I told him that he should go away and that I wasn't interested in giving him my name.
Yeah, you were like, I'm here with somebody.
What was funny about it was that I wasn't there with somebody. I wasn't there with a romantic partner. I was just there with Jared and Jonathan as friends. Mm-hmm. And he perceived it a different way, decided that Jared's presence at the bar meant that I was snubbing him because I was with someone else.
Okay.
And dude literally took his entire Tequila Sunset, which is, for those of you who are, you know, vague on that cocktail, it's literally orange juice, tequila, and grenadine. And he poured it down Jared's shirt.
Yeah.
Like his entire pint glass worth of drink. Yeah. Poured it down his shirt for no reason, literally because I wouldn't tell him my name. And Jared was cool as shit about it. Like he was just like, whoa, that's not cool. And I was like, what? And then, you know, the bartender was like, hey, man, that's not cool. And immediately, like, started coming after him.
Wait, so what's your name?
And then the dude went out the door immediately. And then Jared was like, I was like, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine. It's just cold. I need a towel. And I was like, that's so fucked up. I'm so sorry. Because, again, I'm not with any of these gentlemen. Like,
sure.
I'm just friends with them at the time, and it was just so messed up that like that was a consequence for me being a female friend.
Oh, sure, yeah.
There,
that you just happened to be
time.
Around. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, dude, that did the bad thing left. He walked out the front doors. I stayed with Jared while he requested a towel from the bartender. Bartender immediately, of course, was like, I'm so sorry that happened. Here's the
yeah, we got
thing.
You.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you know,
let's
like,
dry
how
you
can
off.
We get you better? And then as soon as I saw that Jared was okay, I went out the front door in search of perpetrator.
Oh, sure, sure.
Because
yeah.
that's who I am, because
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
crazy. And it's not a good thing. I'm not going to condone
deal
that.
With you're a little aggressive. Sometimes.
A little aggressive. So anyway, Broadway at the time was under construction. So there were a bunch of night workers, construction workers there on the street. Like, there was only one lane, and there were probably 12 of them just out there working, and I didn't see dude anywhere, so I immediately yelled at them something rather derogatory in description of the dude I was in pursuit of, and mm-hmm. said, did any of you see where he went? And they all pointed in a direction, and I ran in that direction, didn't see him, but kept going. Eventually I found him literally hiding behind a bush. So I yelled,
not George W. Bush.
I yelled at
though
him
that was the
to
time
get up.
When he was around.
He stood up in front of me. I said something to the extent, and this is, you know, it's been well over a decade since this, thanks, Nate, since yeah. this exchange happened.
Come at me, motherfucker.
Something like that.
This is the way I've always heard this story.
He did not, and then I punched him in the face as hard as I could.
He didn't come at you and you hit him anyway?
Yes, because he had dumped a drink on my friend for no reason, literally. Then besides, I wouldn't tell him my name.
It's hardcore, bro.
Okay. Anyway, my point is that you don't fuck with the missus. Anyway, yeah. I'm just going to say that I did that.
I ain't saying he didn't deserve it.
And then what happened was he got real pissed off, but he didn't react at me, apparently because I'm a female. And then, okay, all right.
And because you just decked him.
No, probably because more he didn't want to hit a female.
And
he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. I hit him, no reaction. And I was like, fine. I taught him a lesson. I'm going to leave. And at the end of the block was Jared and Jonathan being like, holy shit, did you just punch that guy? And I didn't say anything. And I met up with them and we started walking up the hill towards the hill at Boulder. And it was one of those things where it was like, okay, that was fucking crazy. Let's just keep walking, yeah. I guess. All right. Like, crazy stuff. You need to change into different clothes, Jared. Let's do that. And then we can get to another bar and enjoy ourselves. And while we're thinking these things, we start to collectively hear footsteps that are like very fast paced running at yeah. us. And it was like, oh no. And we turn around and it was the dude again. Out of his jacket comes a full bottle of tequila and he swings it, not even at Jared, but at Jonathan this time. Just weirdly, randomly
yeah.
aiming at a different target.
Just someone's
and,
there.
And
I gotta hit him.
Because he was drunk, I guess, he missed completely Jonathan's head, which is what he was aiming for.
Full bottle of tequila.
Full bottle of tequila. Smashes onto the ground, empties onto the ground, at which point I go livid. I turn red. I don't remember much at that point because I was just like, motherfucker! And I went for the base She-Hulk. Of the bottle. I grabbed the base of the bottle in my palm, and I remember it cutting my fingers. Like, I had the base against my palm, and then four of my fingers and my thumb being on that bottle ridge, and it literally just cutting me and just blood going down my forearm. But I don't care, because at this point, Jonathan and this dude, who we named Shoeless Juan eventually, started because
he runs away later without shoes.
That's yeah. I'm gonna tell that.
I know. I'm sorry.
They start scuffling really badly. It was so bad, like that. He lost one of his shoes immediately, and then I'm just screaming. All I remember was just being like, "Come on, motherfucker!" and just like yelling obscenities at him to like get off of Jonathan and start fighting me, which of course he didn't want to do. Maybe because I was a girl, but maybe because I scared the fuck out of him.
I don't think you wanted to fight anybody, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, you're not scary at all.
Eventually, with like several punches, he lost his other shoe, and I got in front of him to like get between him and Jonathan, and he ran off, losing his second shoe, at which point we dubbed him Shoeless Juan, and then we decided we were going to burn his shoes. Because, you know, we are 20 and that's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking this kid stuff.
Did you burn his shoes?
Thank you.
Of course we burned his shoes. But we not before we went up to Jonathan's house all the way up past the hill and then
I'm
got
curious
everyone
where they were burned at.
Patch at Jonathan's place. But, you know, we patched everyone up. First.
At a private residence, not like in the middle of the street.
Correct.
Yeah. 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 No, everything was done above board.
Right. No, it was above board. But you know, like, you know, I had cuts on my fingers and stuff like that. But the incidents became the Shoeless Juan incident, and it was, you know, one of those things that lived in
infamy
forever, because like Jared and Nate and Jonathan and I are still in contact.
No, good.
Still,
it's good infamy.
Yeah.
It's good infamy.
Good infamy for sure. Yeah. And I don't ever think we ever found out what happened to Shoeless Juan besides the fact that.
I mean, really, who cares?
No.
Fuck that guy. He sounds like an asshole.
He's a very bit arch player in our lives. Yeah. Great.
My turn.
What?
You already told the story. You told the story.
Oh, I meant just like.
Well, yeah, it's your turn to go next. Yeah. I'm gonna give. No,
it's Mahadi's choice. Yep.
All right. Well, look, you're both getting 4 points for your stories. That was great. And Mahadi, pick number three.
Three.
All right. Mahadi, do you have a vague idea about Cobra Kai?
Fuck yeah.
Do it.
Cobra Kai was the true winners of Daniel versus Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, The Karate Kid was a fucked up story of this little weakling who didn't know how to take a joke, being able to like stand up against this highly regarded organization that truly should have been the winners of like this huge debate between, you know, good and wrong. And what happened was Daniel-san did a bunch of like stupid, lame wax on, wax off shit, but Cobra Kai focused their entire lifestyle on being professional killers, and they got wronged by not being able to be the truly righteous winners of something that I think would be, you know, so much of a standard in most martial arts, which is that you're winning.
Yeah, yeah, you're vicious and you win.
You win.
Yeah.
You bring home those W's. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
bring them home.
That's the thing. So,
give us those consummate V's.
Consummate V's.
Billy.
Fuck the pancake.
I mean, I'm pretty much on the same page as Mahadi there in terms of Cobra Kai. There's no pain in this dojo. You know, you've got to, sweep the leg, Johnny, but you know, also, I think we need to have another look at the Karate Kid movie and realize that Daniel is coming from somewhere else, somewhere toxic, New Jersey and
parts of New Jersey. Let's be fair to New Jersey. Some parts, not as toxic.
Whatever you say about it. And he's coming in. He's starting fights. And he's being an asshole. And these other kids are like, you know, trying to just do their thing. And he's like, no, I'm here to fuck everything up. And he's extremely disruptive. He's like stealing this girl. And it's really weird. And then he gets involved with this child abuser named Mr. Miyagi.
Whoa!
Who
allegedly.
Let's not
get into a Boy Scouts bankruptcy sort of situation with Mr. Miyagi.
Sexual abuse. I just said,
I mean,
he is
did
a
make
child
him,
abuser. He
made him wax a lot.
Yeah, he's rough on
That's
him.
Fair.
Right?
That's fair. Yeah, he's doing menial labor.
He's making him wax off. He's
waxing off.
He's painting all kinds of fences.
We all did that in our teens.
You
yeah.
Did,
it's a little odd. But then Like, the other kids come around because Daniel's starting trouble with them, and Mr. Miyagi has no problem beating those kids up.
Oh, yeah.
That's where he becomes, like, a real child abuser. I'm just saying that's a little...
He goes Super Saiyan whenever he wants to.
Little odd. It's not like...
You're not wrong.
I'm just beating up Daniel. No, now I'm beating up these other kids, too. And then Daniel kind of, like, does that weird, deceptive cheat thing during the final...
The crane?
Yeah, the crane kick move. Like, he's kind of like...
And you reference Sweep the Leg Johnny. Who's Johnny?
That's the other guy.
Right? Johnny Cobra.
Yeah. So, it's a weird movie. Maybe we should just not watch it anymore. That's kind of my final thought on that.
All right.
Nate, do you have anything else to add?
I mean, I was just going to say that I think Cobra Kai is a YouTube Red series that is now out that gives you Johnny as a 40, 50-year-old man, and occasionally Daniel-san shows up.
Everything the two of you said is correct. Cobra Kai is also a YouTube series 34 years after The Karate Kid, from the point of view of Johnny, where he keeps remembering what a dick Ralph Macchio was.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. And he actually ends up reopening the Cobra Kai dojo to get his like spirit back because he's turned into this washed up like car salesman guy, and he's I'm gonna become a karate guy again, and he reopens Cobra Kai.
I'm gonna watch the shit out of that.
It's on YouTube Red. It's actually YouTube really Red. Good. I think it has two or three seasons now.
Yeah, yeah. I know it definitely has two. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, that's
why. But yeah, he's constantly having flashbacks about how like this kid showed up and like stole his girlfriend and cheated at the tournament and like kicked his friend's butts and Mr. Miyagi like attacked him and his friends. Incredible. It's exactly everything you guys just said.
I mean, Mr. Miyagi was like totally cool when he was like catching flies with chopsticks and things, but kind of beyond that, things are a little sketchy.
Yeah. Also, like, can anybody really do that? I don't think so.
I could.
Could you?
No.
You
catch up? I didn't do it with chopsticks. I did it with my hand, though.
Well, yeah. I've seen you do it with your hands.
Have you?
Yeah. I've seen you catch a fly with your hands. Yeah, you've also put out candles from great distances with just a flick of your finger. Yeah. Melania's magical.
3 points each for that.
3 points each. What do we got for scores, Shannon?
All right. We have Melody in first place with 43.5 points.
Hell yes.
Billy coming up close with 41 points.
Okay. So Melody is the winner.
Hey, thanks.
This week. Bye. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug? You can plug your business.
Sure.
Okay.
Urban Legend.
Yeah.
That's spelled HERB-AND-LEGEND.com. If you're interested in anything that might make you feel better, like acupuncture, chiropractic, massage, fascia stretch therapy, Reiki, psychotherapy, anything of the norm, we've got it there for you. We're there for you.
Great. Very good. And it is. It's a beautiful business. You have a beautiful space. Billy, what do you want to plug as our runner-up? You got second place out of two, which is like losing, but it's also... like getting second place.
Oh, well, also, I mean, obviously, you know, go to Urban Legend. But mostly I just want to fight somebody. So, you know, show up. We can fist fight, whatever you want to do. We can.
There's a lot going on, listeners, right now.
Melody's making mouth words at me. I don't know what they are.
Fight practice?
Something about fighting practice. No, I don't know.
Unified practice.
Oh, yeah. No.
You should do unified practice. Billy, come on.
Mm-mm.
Get on that.
No.
No? Yeah. All right.
It's not, this audience makes no sense. I'm accepting fight challenges. you can email the podcast and they'll forward it to me.
Yeah, yeah. You can hit us on all of our social media channels. I will book you. How long?
Bring me challenges. Like,
what's the time frame in the ring with you?
Oh, are we talking pretty quick? You
10
know,
one but, minute rounds, or what are you thinking?
I mean, it's all fight to the death, you know.
Okay, sure.
But
sure.
Just like give me your details and your statistics.
You okay, know, okay, you know. Yeah.
What kind of weapons are we going to use? Are you talking
height,
about
weight, weapons, blood type,
swords, spears, whatever?
Yeah,
nothing. armor, no armor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rules, no rules. Like,
Let's talk.
Let's get.
Are we barring holds or are we not barring holds?
Right. Let's bar. I'm into as it. Little holds as
let's
possible.
Let's bar nothing.
Yeah.
Bar none.
Arr.
Yeah.
I like it.
Shannon, do you want to plug anything this week?
I'll plug stenodenver.com.
Great.
Our podcast host. If you want to record a podcast, if you want a co-working space, visit stenodenver.com in Denver, Colorado.
All right.
Yeah.
And listeners, well, one, Melody, Billy, thank you so much for being back on the show.
It's fun.
This has been a real pleasure.
Always nice.
I think we figured a lot about ourselves. I think we just got to the bottom of a lot of stuff today.
We always
and
do
you
that, don't
and
we?
And yeah, and once you do your death fights, we'll get even further into it. Yeah, but I think we started down a path that's very important. So
I'll
I'm excited
be
about
back
this.
Or I won't, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing is that worst case, Melody will bring your head mounted on some sort of ceremonial stuffing.
Which
sort
is
of
definitely going to talk, but it's going to be weird.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Those dead talking heads.
Yeah. Know. No, I mean, come on. Yeah. David Brent's not that old. Hey-o.
Right.
But yeah. So thank you guys for coming back. Listeners, thank you for listening to the show. If you like this show, tell people about it. Tell 5 people. Tell 10 people. Do you know 15 people? Man, tell all 15 of them. That would be great.
That's a lot of people.
It is. It's a lot of people. But it's also a manageable amount. Because you're like, well, I've got a gas station attendant, and I have a sandwich purveyor, and I have a child wrangler. Like, everybody's got all these people in their lives, and you could talk to all of them about this.
Tell them people.
Yeah, tell the people. So yeah, if you like it, tell people about it. Otherwise, check out our social media. We have at A Vague Idea Podcast on Instagram, at A Vague Idea Pod on Twitter, and the A Vague Idea Podcast online group thing on Facebook.
Podcast.
Yeah. So you can check that out. And, if you like any of that stuff, just do that. And otherwise, thank you for listening. And may God have mercy. On your souls. Your soul. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and sometimes John Perros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to them? All music and sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.